Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The 50 Commands of Jesus by J.D. Bickerstaff lists the 50 commands of Jesus mentioned in the Scriptures. The book uses simple language to explain these commands and offers practical suggestions on incorporating them into modern living. J.D. defines his purpose in life as helping people learn how to live a life truly blessed. His writings, both fiction and nonfiction, emphasize the need for knowledge of spiritual truths, plus the courage to take bold action and positively impact our world. J.D. and his wife Lisa live in Denton, Texas, where he served the last 23 years of his career as a vice president of human resources for a large international retail chain. He serves on the board of directors for a nonprofit that feeds the hungry and shelters the homeless. He has a special interest in developing servant leaders who could bring out the best in people they lead. And J.D. Bickerstaff, author of the 50 Commands of Jesus to Know and Obey, is our guest on This Week in America. J.D., welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. It's very good and blessed to be here.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk about the book, The 50 Commands of Jesus, to Know and Obey. The book receiving excellent reviews and touching so many people in a positive way. I'm looking forward to our conversation. Let's start at the beginning. Where did this idea come from? What was the inspiration to write The 50 Commands of Jesus?
Well, a few years ago, I heard some lyrics of a song that stressed the importance of the words in red in the Bible. Well, obviously, those are the words of Jesus quoted in the four Gospels. And I decided if I'm going to call Jesus my Lord and Savior, I should really devote some serious study time to his words and teachings. And in that process, I learned that Jesus gave his followers and disciples 50 things to do written in the imperative mood of a verb. And thus they get labeled as a command and not just a suggestion. Well, I learned that those 50 to-dos from Jesus are essentially how we are to behave and what our heart attitudes should be in many situations in our daily living. One of those 50 commands, which we commonly call the Great Commission, found at the end of both the books Matthew and Mark, tell us to go into all of the world and make disciples of Christ Jesus. And Jesus said to teach people to obey everything he commanded them. So I know that a disciple is basically a student learning to become more like the one he or she is following. And I really believe over time a Christian should seek to become more Christ-like in their character and their conduct and in our attitudes and our actions. So I realized at the time many Christians, including myself, I didn't really know much of what Jesus specifically taught. The basic premise of my book is that most Christians trust Jesus as their Savior to keep them out of hell, but far fewer have truly made him the Lord of their life because they don't know his commands and do not make a serious effort to obey them. When people say Lord and Savior, I don't think they walk the talk. One of my favorite sayings about walking the talk is, I hear you clucking, but I don't see no eggs. And actually, that corny line is the first sentence of my book intended to get my audience's attention.
Well, it does. And for those people that are like 50 commands, boy, I was not aware of that. And I think a lot of people fall in that category. And JD, you mentioned that just a few minutes ago. You lay it out so well. Simple language, you give us practical suggestions so we can incorporate these 50. The book is The 50 Commands of Jesus to Know and Obey. JD Bickerstaff is the author, our guest on the program. Who is the target audience? When you write a book, they always want you to sort of have a target audience in mind. And I see this being basically for everybody. But who was the target you had in mind as you wrote this?
Well, Rick, I think my primary target is someone who already believes in Jesus as the Christ. And it's someone who wants to be a true disciple or student of Jesus and then follow his teachings. And I think broadly, it's anybody that wants to be within the will of God for their life. If you accept that Jesus was both human and divine God, then when you obey God's commands, you can't help but be within the will of God. If Jesus, you believe, is God, then you should obey his commands.
And you have those commands in J.D.'s book, J.D. Biggerstaff. I'm going to explain, I'm going to do the spelling, and I'll do it again before we conclude the conversation, so you can Google and get a copy of the book, J.D. Biggerstaff. That's B-I-G-G-E-R-S-T-A-F-F. That's important because that's his website, jdbiggerstaff.com. Information there on the book. You can order it there as well. And again, we'll have a link on that. The book available also at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Reader's Magnet, all the usual places. What was the goal, the purpose you had in mind, J.D., as you were writing the 50 Commands of Jesus?
Well, the specific goal is to put the Great Commission into action and help make disciples of Christ Jesus as he commanded us. I think there's an old saying that I like is, you can't give away something you do not possess. So I think you need to be a disciple before you can go out and make other disciples as we are commanded. I think you can be a born-again believer but not yet be a true disciple because you haven't studied Jesus' life, his teachings, maybe his decisions, and then what he commanded us to do. So live the Great Commission, one goal, and also I think to help make a better world. And I realize that's somewhat of a grandiose goal, but I passionately believe if more people followed the teachings of Jesus, our world would definitely be a much kinder, gentler, and better place to live.
And it starts with us, and J.D. helps us along that road by his book, The 50 Commands of Jesus. When I heard the title, when I understood the concept of the book, I really was looking forward to this interview. In fact, it's a very important topic. What is unique or different about this book? Because it is a unique book.
Well, I think there's dual purpose in the book. It is both a teaching tool and it incorporates a self-assessment instrument. As a teaching tool, as you said earlier, I wrote it to be easy to read. There is a short version of each of the 50 commands, and then I follow that with the scripture quotes of Jesus in red for each of those 50 commands. And then there is my commentary on what I think people should know and do to apply each of those 50 commands in their daily living. Now, Rick, what is really unique, I provide a self-assessment tool so the reader can evaluate their own obedience to each of the 50 commands. So how that works, after you read the command and commentary, you then are challenged to rate yourself as red, yellow, green in obedience. And that is assessing yourself as poor, fair, good. Then I provide a process with forms and score sheet to calculate your overall score of obedience to Lord Jesus. And you can even determine a 0 to 100 scale like in school. What I found interesting, the first time I rated myself, I came up a high yellow with far, far too many reds. And I decided that day I did not want to be in God's red zone. You know, the red zone might be okay in football, but it's not so good in obeying the word of God. And I decided I really need to focus on some self-improvement, obeying my Lord and Savior. So my book then, and using my management background, suggest that you identify some areas that you want to improve in and set goals to improve your obedience to Christ. So I challenge the reader to analyze any area that they're not doing so well in what Jesus tells us to do. And I ask the reader to describe their weaknesses in terms of their thoughts, their words, and their actions. This is a very behavior-based process. I then ask the reader to determine what thoughts, words, and actions they need to substitute to become obedient to any of the specific commands they've selected for improvement. Fundamentally, this is a process of behavior modification. I call it goal setting for God to become more like the Son, Christ Jesus. I think, again, which should be the goal of every Christian. Their life's trajectory should go in that direction over the long term.
I love the way that you've done this. It's not just reading and hoping the reader retains. We are a participant in the process. You get us thinking. You get us grading ourselves, doing that self-assessment, that self-evaluation. You get us implementing what you talk about in the 50 Commands of Jesus. The author, J.D. Biggerstaff, with us on the program. Why should someone read this book on the commands of Jesus? Why is this so important to the average person?
Well, I have a belief that almost everybody, no matter what your beliefs, asks the question, why am I here in this world? What's my why? And I think most people want to live a life of meaning and purpose, and certainly almost everyone wants to have a blessed life. Most Christians I know want to be within the will of God for their individual life. And so since Jesus is God, when you know and faithfully obey his commands, you will begin to be within the will of God. And I've learned from experience, and that's when God's supernatural favor and blessings begin to flow in your life. I've learned there are real blessings in becoming an obedient follower of Christ and becoming his disciple. Looking back over scripture, the Apostle James clearly tells us if we know, remember, and do God's words, God will bless us. He's pretty clear and doesn't mince his words in that statement.
Tell me a little bit about your background, personal mission, or purpose in life. Give me a little bit about you and your thoughts as you go through life, touching so many people.
Well, Rick, I was at a seminar a few years ago, and the speaker asked us to think about and define in writing our purpose and mission in life. And as I thought and prayed about it, I wrote down, and you said this earlier, that my mission is to help people learn how to live a truly blessed life. And I see myself as a bit of a teacher and maybe a coach. During a recession in 1991, I was laid off. And good jobs were tough to come by. So my prayer, humbly on my knees, was, Lord, bring me a job where I can serve you. And then God miraculously or supernaturally opened the door for me to become the vice president of human resources for a large international corporation. I was blessed to be the servant leader for 26,000 employees for 23 years. Now, that's kind of a long run and not real typical in corporate America. Well, now that I'm retired, I write Christian books and blogs. What's interesting, I think, is I collect classic cars and I use them for evangelism at local car shows. I use the motto, the car gets the attention, but God gets the glory. So I've previously taught Sunday school, and now I'm very proud that I volunteer. This is my eighth year of serving on the board of directors for a large nonprofit in the county where I live that feeds the hungry, and we shelter the homeless, which is one of the things Jesus commands us to do. So I reflect back that Jesus told his disciples, to be great in the kingdom of God, you must be a servant here on earth. And he certainly modeled that for us in his life. So I always try to remain mindful of doing everything I do to serve God and to put his will above my own. Now, as a human being, that's not always easy. And there are some days I just fail miserably at that, but at least I try.
You know, you're an example for all of us to follow, especially on those days when we feel that we've fallen behind, and to understand that and to strive to be better the next day. This is such a powerful book, The 50 Commands of Jesus to Know and Obey. J.D. Biggerstaff, our guest on the program. What value is there for someone who reads this book and then applies the commands of Jesus to their daily life?
Well, Jesus himself made a really powerful statement. It's a simple one, quoted in Luke 11:28. He said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." So in other words, if you know what God says to do and you do it, you will be blessed. Jesus, goes on and says, "If you love me, keep my commands." And then he says, if you don't obey the Son, you won't see life. The wrath of God, I think spiritually, will remain on you. And Jesus made many other powerful statements, but one I like, it seems almost too good to be true, but it is true. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you desire and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you would go into the world and bear much fruit. We are charged with living a life that bears much fruit. Now, I think it's important to understand that God's promises and blessings are conditional. They don't automatically manifest in everyone's life, but they are available to those who believe in Christ Jesus, and I think make a free will choice to know and obey his commands. Now, certainly, Jesus went on to say, we will always have trials and tribulations in our life, but we can have a blessed life in spite of the storms that come our way in life, and they will come our way.
I want to talk about the WWIFM, and that's not a new station that's carrying This Week in America. It's What's in It for Me. We all want to be, before we spend our time on something, okay, what am I going to gain by this? What is in this for me? If I read the 50 commands of Jesus, what's in it for me?
Well, again, I'm being a little redundant, but there are many blessings for believers who seek God diligently and I think obey his laws willingly. There's a cliche I like that says, God responds to those who seek him diligently, not casually. We are to praise and honor God in all things and not just beg for his help when times are tough. We are to live with an attitude of gratitude. And I believe strongly, because it's what I've experienced in my life, that God wants to bless us and prosper us. I read an author once that said he had counted that Jesus made 108 promises to his believers who chose to abide in his words. If I were to give you a short list of those promises and some of the powerful key points for a believer, we avoid God's eternal judgment and punishment for our sins, and we're recipients of his grace and forgiveness that lead us to eternal life and salvation versus spending our eternity in hell, which we would probably deserve. And Jesus says, I'll give you a supernatural peace that defies the peace in the world. And that we would see blessings and miracles manifest in our lives that other people usually can't explain or even understand. And I like this one, that we would enjoy the favor of God. I call it FOG, the favor of God on your life and circumstances. That we would have decisions and successes in our life that go way beyond our limited human abilities. And that you would be blessed so that you have enough to give away and you can be a blessing to others. So, And Jesus also said the righteous desires of your heart will be fulfilled in answers to your righteous prayers. So, again, I believe these promises because they are what I've experienced as I surrendered my life and drew near to God and then became obedient to the Son. So to me, the proof was in the pudding. That's what I've experienced. That's a whiff 'em for anyone who gets in line with the will of God.
I didn't mean to interrupt there because that was so important, and that's what makes this book so valuable. It's relatable because these are situations that J.D. has gone through. He's talking to us. He's talking directly to us as one of us who's gone through all of these experiences in life. What's your hope for the book? When people finish reading the 50 Commands of Jesus, what do you hope the takeaway is?
Well, I have several hopes for this book, and I hope it can become a widely adopted teaching tool in discipleship classes because it helps someone learn how to become more like Jesus, especially if they're a new Christian. It conveys how Jesus said his followers are to think and behave. And again, the self-assessment shows where someone needs to get better, and it helps them establish their improvement goals. I hope this book lives on long after I've left this earth and graduated to heaven. Jesus tells us to live a life that produces good fruit of eternal or lasting value. And this book is part of my effort and obedience to the Great Commission to help make disciples. I'm reminded that the Apostle James told us that faith without action is dead. So I hope my books, my writings, and my blogs put my faith into action.
And you write other things, and obviously that's the hope for all of your writings, is to fulfill the Great Commission, isn't it?
Well, there's several things I hope to achieve through my writings, books, blogs, and public speaking. At the core level, I hope what I write and say causes people to think about and realize their need for God in this troubled world that we live in. I hope people realize they need God's help in life because we are not wired or designed to do it all on our own, in our own limited human power. I learned that lesson in my life about 40 years ago when I was 35. So I also hope to make a better world by teaching people what to think, say, and do as Jesus modeled. Now, beyond this book, I hope to establish a nationally known concept that I call B3D. And that stands for bless three people per day. Most people have heard of the concept, pay it forward, books and a movie. And, you know, an example would be you're in a grocery store line and you prepay for the groceries of the person behind you. Well, I hope to introduce the concept of B3D, and that involves a personal goal, set a goal to bless at least three people each day, then live blessing-minded and act on it. I met a lady once who was determined to give everyone she met a good gift. Well, I think that's a good thing to do. Everyone needs something you have to give, no matter whether you're rich or not rich. You know, those blessings you can give away might include things like a smile, hug, a word of encouragement. Sometimes just listening while someone emotes, spending quality time, perhaps helping someone do something. And then it could certainly include providing material things like food, shelter, clothing, money, or transportation. I'm a big believer in Jesus, and the Bible says we reap what we sow in life. Karma says what we send out in the universe will return to us in some form. And in God's spiritual law, like energies attract like energies. Sometimes that's called the law of attraction. So my goal of B3D is if millions of Americans would do that, we would sow so much positive energy and blessings into the universe, God would return those blessings to us both individually and corporately to our nation. If millions of people practice B3D, it would be a good first step in returning our nation back to God, no matter what your faith and beliefs might be, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, or Hindu, or agnostic. So in the business world, there's a saying that says, what gets measured gets done. And as a reminder that I should go through each day trying to set a goal to bless three people, I carry three little colored beads in a little Ziploc in my pocket, red, yellow, green. And this is a reminder. And
We're disappearing. Oh, there we go. There we see them.
Yeah,
yes.
If you can see, I'm struggling to get this shown.
There we go, with the three chips
But the red, yellow, and green, if your goal is three and you've only blessed one, you're in the red zone. If you've blessed two or more, you're in the yellow. And if you've blessed three people that day, you're in the green zone. So this is just my personal reminder to live blessing-minded. So again, my books and hopefully this concept is, I'm just trying to make a better world as I go through my earthly journey towards my heavenly home. And I'll just always try to be faithful and do my best. And then I really trust God for all the rest. For me personally, when God calls me home, I hope I hear my Lord and Savior say, well done, good and faithful servant. That remains to be seen. For other people, I hope anyone who reads this book will begin to apply what they learn in their life. I hope and pray they begin to see their life changed for the better when they walk within the will of God. And again, I hope they begin to experience God's promised blessings for his believers who are faithful and obedient to the words of the Son. And those are the 50 commands of Jesus to know and obey. Rick, I guess for now, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Well, it's a good story to have. Stick to it and the rest of us will follow it. The book is The 50 Commands of Jesus to Know and Obey. The author is J.D. Biggerstaff. That's B-I-G-G-E-R-S-T-A-F-F. His website, his name, jdbiggerstaff.com. I'd like to thank Reader's Magnet, the self-publishing marketing company, for arranging our conversation. Book available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can buy a book at J.D.'s website as well. All this information, again, on our website. J.D., a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thanks again, Rick. I appreciate it.
It has been our pleasure. J.D. Biggerstaff, the information on his book, The 50 Commands of Jesus to Know and Obey, available on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.